Good morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6 say this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us believers in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in union with Christ. Just as God the Father chose us to be in union with the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him in unconditional love. In unconditional love, God the Father predestined us to adoption as adult sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He, God the Father, freely bestowed on us in our beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God and Father loved us unconditionally, even before creation itself. And by a divine plan, He gave us a series of spiritual blessings and a life of abundance. And today we come to partake of one of those blessings, the Word of God, which showers our soul with calm and resolve and wonder. Bible study is a time of renewing, a time to intentionally learn all of the marvelous spiritual blessings we have at our disposal. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, we are here so that we can be renewed by God in the spirit of our minds. This time of renewing is a time to let yourself be changed by God. Let me repeat that. This time of renewing is a time to let yourself be changed by God. You don't have to change yourself because God is changing you, believers in Christ. This time of renewing is a time to shift your focus away from the sins that lead to death and toward Christ and His resurrection life. In Bible study, our knowledge is changed, and that renewing changes our thoughts, giving us new thoughts to think. And then these new thoughts show up in the form of a manifest Christianity that shines brightly for all to see. Welcome to a place where our mentor and teacher, God the Holy Spirit, uses His enabling power to prepare you in humility to receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Happy Mother's Day, mothers. Deacon Denny, would you come up? So this is for our oldest mother. Let me see if you can guess who that might be. And a card. Who might that be? Who might be the oldest mother in Barah Ministries? Aww. Dorothy, you'll always have a special place in my heart because my mom's name is Dorothy, too. So, I do. Well, no, I don't know I know what it means. What does it mean? The gift of God. Well, that's perfect for you. And I don't think you read it anywhere. I think you made it up. But, you know, I'm quite okay with that. Yeah, you can sit that somewhere else. But happy Mother's Day to you and to all the mothers. And we have flowers here for a flower for each mother. And we'll be passing those out in lesson 3, just as our tribute to you and how special you are. And this lesson is dedicated to mothers, and especially the mothers of Barah Ministries. So the tribute song to open up today's lesson is from Boys to Men, and it is a song for Mama. Were gray and never.
the queen of my heart. Your love is like tears from the stars. Mama, I just want you to know.
For me, have always been around for me, even when I was bad. You've shown me right from my wrongs. Yes, you did. And you took up for me when everyone was down on me. You always did understand. You gave me strength to go on.
There was so many times looking back when I was so afraid. Then you come to me and tell me I can face anything. And no one else can do what you've done for me. You'll always be, you will always be the girl in my life. Ooh, oh.
Mama, mama, you know I love you.
You know I love you.
Grateful Heavenly Father for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for giving us mothers as the visible manifestation of your unconditional love. Bless them and keep them and exalt them and let their importance ring out in a world that disdains their contribution to the development of the minds and the bodies and the spirits of our children. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift is pastor teacher, a gift given to me for your benefit, for the building up of God's royal family into a unified force, and to assist you in the development of a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is a deep, intimate, and personal relationship? It is an individual involvement with God intended just for you. It's planned by God in eternity past. It's a relationship containing the elements of dependence and independence because you have free will and interdependence. It is a relationship extending far beneath the surface of things. It is a close and warm and intricate and familiar association suggesting privacy and a connection with the divine. My first deep, intimate, and personal relationship was my relationship with my mother. And it lasted 43 years. And it is, with the possible exception of my relationship with Elliot, the best relationship I've ever had. But without question, it was the relationship that hurt me most deeply. Because I failed with my mom. Because all I wanted to do with my mom was to make her happy. And I never succeeded at it. You know, my mom died at 57 years old, but she wasn't buried until she was 80. And so she spent most of her adult life dead, hurt, resigned, out of play. And so I took it on as my job, and I don't think this is a job that kids ought to take on, but I took it on as my job to make her happy and to show her that life wasn't quite as bad as she thought it was. And if you ever wonder why I'm driven and why I have been successful in my life in the human realm, it was my drive to please my mom, and it was my drive to show her that life was wonderful. And I have extended that relationship, that drive, into every single area of my life. And if you look at my life and examine it, every area of my life involves some kind of assistance of people. Because my desire was so intense to be the difference maker in her life. And I extended that to every life that I touch. What a gracious gift from our gracious God to be able to do that, to be able to take it on. And I never saw it as a burden. I always saw it as a privilege. But Dorothy S. Clark. I was asking myself this morning what I remember about her. And the answer came quickly, everything. I remember everything about her. My mom was never sentimental for me. All I ever felt toward her was gratitude. When I was a baby, and she would put me in my crib, I would wait until she was asleep, and then I would crawl out of the crib and get right underneath her. It was very much the way Elliot used to do with me. You know, whenever I was sitting on the couch, he was the biggest pest. He always get right underneath me. And I developed a system to keep him away from me. It was a form. And it said, I agree to sit with my dad for 15 minutes upon presentation of this form. So if he ever wanted to sit next to me, he had to fill out a form. So when I'm 80 and I need my butt wiped, then I can give him these little certificates. I have about 200 or 300 of them. But that was my relationship with my mom. I was just up underneath her all the time. All the time. Looking for her to tell me anything that would help me understand life and understand direction and what I should do and where I should go and how I could get out of the ghetto and how I could stop being afraid. And she always had words that were direction-based. And she was a very tough woman. Very hard woman, very tough woman. And she didn't have much time for crybabies. But unfortunately, God gave her a crybaby, that's me. And she would, you know, the words to that song, she would tell me that I could face anything. And she would always encourage me to go into the fire. And I lived the dream of life that she had for herself. And I'm proud to be her son. And the one thing that encourages me about walking through my very own death-shadowed valley is not only knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is on the other side waiting for me, but also that she'll be there. And I'll get to see her again. Because I miss her tremendously. And if you know me, you know my mom. Because we are a lot alike in every way. She was a great woman, and she was my first deep, intimate, and personal relationship. And God is my next one. And it is a pleasure for me to be a pastor and to assist you in having a deep and intimate and personal relationship with the supreme being of the universe, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My sister-in-law asked me the other day why I was a minister. She's a Jehovah's Witness, so she was speaking with disdain. And she said, "Why are you a minister?" And I gave her the standard pat. You know, well, I love people, and I love teaching, and the Word of God is the highest calling to teach, and gosh darn it. But, you know, why I'm a pastor is to express my gratitude to my mom for all she gave me. And if I could give you one third of what she gave me through our study of the Word of God, I would have been a tremendous success. Because she invested me with a courage that is a drive to live every moment and every breath to the fullest. And that's what I'm committed to. I'm committed to you. So today's lesson, mothers are a manifestation of unconditional love. Thank you, mothers, for being here. Thank you for being mothers, and happy Mother's Day. This day was always a fun day for me. This is the one, people who know me know that I'm not a big holiday guy. Right? I don't really care about holidays all that much, and I genuinely don't. But this was the one holiday that was always special to me. And I used to specialize in serving my mom breakfast in bed. And I'd make her a little menu and give it to her and have the little check boxes and then come up with this beautiful spread for her. And that was just me showing gratitude for what she gave to me more than anything else, and that is unconditional love. And mothers are a manifestation of unconditional love. So we continue our study of the Creator. Who is the Creator? Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Who is the Creator? Happy Mother's Day, mothers. To all you mothers out there. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to begin at verse 1. Who is the Creator? It says this, "Therefore, since we believers in Christ have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, the witnesses that are watching us from the Supreme Court of Heaven, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, we have become a spectacle both to angels and to men. Therefore, since we believers in Christ have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us, believers in Christ, lay aside every encumbrance, every weight, and the sin nature which so easily entangles us, blocking our progress on all sides. And let us run with endurance the race of our lives that is set before us." Legalism was a weight. Religion is a weight. And as believers in Christ, we are to lay aside those weights and the sin nature which so easily entangles us. We're to lay aside sin and stop looking at it, because it's a complete waste of our time. Angels in heaven are watching us as lower creatures, and they are rubbernecking to see how we run the race of our lives that are set before us, so that they can learn from us about the creator-creature conflict. And we believers have become a spectacle to angels and to men. And therefore, Hebrews 12:2 says, we are to be fixing our eyes on Jesus, not on sins. Fixing our eyes on perfection, not on mistakes. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the humiliation and the shame of it, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God the Father in session. We fixate on the Lord Jesus Christ, our Creator. He is the example we watch for how to live the resurrection life. And when this life seems to be too much to bear, we simply remember all that he endured, and it edifies us in our souls, and it makes our struggle seem not so difficult to bear. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, consider him, keep on thinking about him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself. Think about all the hurts that he endured. When you think about your hurts, think about all the hurts that he endured. Why? So that you will not grow weary, fainting in your souls. Welcome, royal family of God, to your source of nourishment, your source of stability, a place to remind you to fix your eyes on the example and to never take your eyes off of Christ, the one with whom we have much to do. TikTok, what time is it on the Creator clock? It is 1 Corinthians 13 o'clock on the Creator clock. 1 Corinthians 13, 13 says, now faith, hope, and love abide in the sphere of these three, but the greatest of these is unconditional love. Our subject is unconditional love, and what a great day to discuss it. Mother's Day. Mothers are insane. Mothers are insane. I've always thought that. I don't understand mothers. I never have. And I think I couldn't understand why I didn't understand mothers. It's because they're not understandable. They're just like unconditional love. They're not understandable, really. You can't comprehend what happens to a woman when she gives birth to a child. So, ladies, you're right. You don't know what it's like to be a mother. No, we don't. We really don't. Never will. But we study unconditional love. And perhaps that can give us a small glimpse of what it's like to be a mother. And we can celebrate that on Mother's Day. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, summarized the seeming complexity of the Word of God into absolute simplicity. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 12, and we'll begin at verse 28. Mark chapter 12, we'll begin at verse 28. Mark 12, 28. Our Lord Jesus Christ summarizing the seeming complexity of the Word of God. Mark 12, 28, one of the scribes came and heard them, and them is a reference to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the other scribes. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and the scribe recognized that the Lord Jesus Christ had answered them well. And so the scribe asked Jesus, what commandment is the foremost of all? This was a request from the scribe to boil down all of Scripture to one thing. That's a typical, legalistic, immature, although well-meaning request. The scribe was well-meaning. But think about that request. Could you just, yeah, this is great, this Bible, yeah, it's great. But could you just boil, could you net it out for us? Could you just boil it all down to one thing? Could you? Because if you do that, if you take the law of liberty and boil it all down to one thing, then I can check the box. The legalistic and immature request. Mark 12, 29, Jesus answered and said, the foremost is, hear, O Israel. Shema, Israel. Adonai Eloheinu, the Lord our God is one Lord, also translatable as the Lord our God is unique. What was he saying here? He's saying, shut up, Israel. Listen, Israel. And they were not listening. Not the scribes, not the Pharisees, not the Sadducees. They were not listening. Mark 12:30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. What was he saying here? All in. No toe in the water. No check the box spirituality. Mark 12:31, the second is this. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Agapao. You shall agapao your neighbor as you agapao yourself. You shall love your neighbor unconditionally and love yourself unconditionally. Do you? Think about all those things you say to yourself on a regular basis. Do you love yourself unconditionally? Do you know how to get off your own back? Is your assessment of yourself the same assessment of yourself that God has when he looks at you? When he looks at you and he sees holy and blameless and absolutely righteous and saint and priest and ambassador, someone that he chooses to represent him in Satan's kingdom, justified. Do you see the same thing in yourself that he sees in you, or is your vision of yourself skewed? You shall love your neighbor unconditionally, just as you are to love yourself unconditionally. There is no other commandment, there is no other request of free will greater than these. What did the Lord Jesus Christ do with that unreasonable request to net it out? He netted it out. All in, love your neighbor, love me, love yourself, unconditionally. Love me with my love, love you with your with my love, love others with my love. And in saying so, what did he do? He blew their minds. He blew their minds, because the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, why the scribes? Always walking around, writing everything down so as not to miss a jot or a tittle, so that they could follow the law perfectly in their own self-righteousness. Because if I follow it righteously in my own self-righteousness, he can't blame me and I can't be wrong. And that's the way we live life, in a box. A little box. But unconditional love cannot be contained. He blew their minds. By summarizing the entirety of Scripture into two requests, the Lord simply blew the minds away of his questioners. And they realized that legalism could never contain the depth of the Lord's unconditional love for his creatures. They realized that the freedom provided by unconditional love calls us to a standard of living that legalism could never hope to attain. And in just a few words, the Lord jettisoned all of the attempts of tradition and all of the ascetic sacrifices to obtain the favor of God, and call those who relish legalism to the freedom of absolute truth. And today, many seek to ignore the entirety and the enormity of the Christian way of living, and they seek to reduce it to its parts. I went to church. I studied today. I took notes. Yet life cannot be contained and ingested in this way. Love cannot be contained and ingested in this way. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14 say this: you were called to freedom, brethren, believers in Christ. So many people hate freedom because freedom indicts. Freedom requires responsibility, and so many hate it. Please don't make me be at fault. Please, just tell me what I got to do. Tell me what I got to check off. Help me understand. No, it's not logic. Logic is wonderful. The Greeks thought so. But they fell way short of the glory of God, way short of the essence of God. No, it's not just the intellect. You were called to freedom, brethren, only don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, which is what we do when we're bored. But through unconditional love, serve one another. Turn your freedom into an opportunity for service. You know, first and foremost, you guys ought to be selfish. Why do you come here? You got to be selfish. Work tells you got to work on Sunday. If you're not selfish, you go. You got to be selfish. Because first and foremost, this is for you. And then when you get that, simultaneously, you can serve others, which is what our God wants us to do. An unconditional love, serve one another. Because the whole of the Mosaic Law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbors as yourself. What's that one word? Love. Agapao, unconditional love. What's that word? Christ, which means what? Unconditional love. If we learn anything from our mothers, we learn unconditional love. Take a look at Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Turn to Romans chapter 13, verse 8. We'll go to verse 10. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Romans chapter 13, verse 8, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another unconditionally. For he who loves his neighbor unconditionally has fulfilled the law. Romans 13, 9, for this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor unconditionally as you love yourself. Unconditionally. What is the standard? Romans 13:10. Unconditional love does not wrong a neighbor. Therefore, unconditional love is the fulfillment of the law. You see, like Christ, many mothers manifest unconditional love. Mothers seldom focus on our deficiencies. Seldom focus on our sins. And they see us as we could never see ourselves, in a perfected state. Now, it may not come across that way a lot of times. You know, it may come across as you're not. But what they're really telling you is there's a perfected state in you. And I demand that you move to it. You may not like it that somebody inspires you to that. And you may not like the way that a mother inspires you to that. Yet what would you be without your mother? What would you really be? Mothers see us as we could never see ourselves, in a perfected state. And this is divine vision embodied in female humans. Look at John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Turn there. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. John 13. As the Lord prepared his apostles for his departure on the night before his crucifixion, on the night before his visit to the cross and then on to heaven, he instructed them concerning unconditional love. John chapter 13, beginning at verse 34, he says, a new request of free will, a new commandment I give to you, my apostles, that you love one another unconditionally, just as I have loved you unconditionally, that you also love one another unconditionally. John 13:35, by this display of unconditional love, all men will know that you are my mathetes, my technical students, my disciples. How will they know? If you have unconditional love for one another. Unconditional love is all over the Bible. People are always asking me, how could your teachers have missed these things that you're teaching today? And I say easily. They missed unconditional love. They completely missed the single most important thing in biblical Christianity, that. Unconditional love is all over the Bible and deep within the hearts of the mothers of the world. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. If I speak with the tongue of men and angels, but I don't have unconditional love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You know what my mom's expression for that was? If I don't have unconditional love, I am loud and wrong. And my mom used to say, there's nothing worse than being loud and wrong. In other words, if I am in church every day, if I'm studying the Bible every day, if I'm taking notes during every lesson, word for word, if I'm evangelizing incessantly, if I'm praying up a storm, if I'm donating every penny of my money, but in all of this, I do not have a mother's unconditional love toward others, then what? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2 says, if I have the gift of prophecy even, and know all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move a mountain, faith as small as a mustard seed, where you say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. If I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have unconditional love, I am nothing. Without unconditional love, I am nothing. Why? Because unconditional love is the supreme Christian virtue. It is the absolute reflection of the only God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 says, now faith, hope, and love abide in the sphere of these three. But the greatest of these, unconditional love. Well, there's something that happens to a woman after she has a baby. Let me repeat that. There's something that happens to a woman after she has a baby. What is it? It's called unconditional love. Take a 5-minute break and we'll talk about it.
Climb out of this boat and then onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. Waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice
swing and the storm. Surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors, shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giants call out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win, you'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid.
Welcome back. There's something that happens to a woman after she has a baby. What is it? She loses her mind. She makes an other-centered commitment that can't even be described. So it is with unconditional love. There is no other love that rivals a mother's love except the love that dogs have for humans. Isaiah asks about a mother's love in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Of course not. A mother's love is stupid love because a mother's love is sacrificial love. Unconditional love is the love that leaves you feeling like a fool for the sacrifice because it is so total, all in. To be sure, there are mothers who do not fulfill the role that was built into them. Mothers who do not display this unbelievable form of love, which often we call maternal instinct. It's almost inconceivable to us when we see mothers who abandon this high calling, this protective love, which makes women crazy enough to think that they have to protect their offspring from a father who is performing the normal course of discipline with his children. Mothers have an insane love for children. Now imagine that this love I describe that mothers have is 1/1,000,000th of the unconditional love that our God has for us. And it is 1/1,000,000th of the love God has for us. How much exactly are you loved by God? Let me repeat that. How much exactly are you loved by God? And if you don't understand that, if you don't get that in the very bowels of your being, you'll miss everything that is wonderful in this life. And isn't it funny how teachers can steal that from us by not teaching that? As Christians, if we don't understand unconditional love first and foremost in the innermost being of our souls, even if we study the Bible in every detail forever, we will never understand a thing because unconditional love is revolutionary. I chuckle when children criticize their parents. I chuckle at that. And it's easy for children to criticize their mothers, because children don't have to exist within the minds of their mothers. But I think back on all the times when my mom sat up all night watching her car in our neighborhood so that it wouldn't get stolen, with her gun poised at the window. I think about all the burglar latches that were on every window and the three locks that were on every door. And then the big 2x4 that was propped under the handle of the door so that nobody could get in to harm her progeny. I had no idea of the commitment that that takes. So it's easy to be critical of your mom, you know, and say, well, you should have done it differently. But we don't understand how moms think and how moms love, because that love is insane. It's very difficult to understand a mom who's all in for her children, all in, all over them. Very difficult to understand that mom and to be grateful for that mom. You know, Rachel and Ben's Logan took a fall about a week ago and hit his head. And the first thing I thought was, I wonder how Rachel feels inside knowing that he had hit his head. And I could guess. But I don't think it would be anywhere close to what that feels like. Losing a child, having one of your children die, how could you ever describe that adequately? I don't think it can be done. Unconditional love is revolutionary. There was a moment this week when I sat at my desk, and in the silence of the middle of the day when everyone else was going about their business, I cried every tear out of my tear ducts. I cried so much that there was not one tear left to cry. And the thought that came after the tears from the depth of me was the expression of regret to my God. God, I'm sorry that I didn't do it all your way. That's the thing I regret most about my life. That I didn't do it all, every bit of it, God's way. That I had any moment of self. Any moment where I didn't listen absolutely to what he had to tell me. And that was the same way I felt about my mom. You know, my mom said, look, you're going to go out? I'm worried about you. So when you get to this place, you call me. Tell me the itinerary of exactly where you're going and who the people are and what their phone numbers are. And she was obsessive about knowing everything that I was doing. And don't deviate from your route. And I didn't. I didn't know why I didn't. But I didn't. I do know why I didn't. I do know why I didn't. I didn't because when I was 8 years old, she told me I could go in the backyard and not outside of it. I went outside of it. I got hit in the head with a baseball bat, playing baseball with my friends, and had 24 stitches, and I thought I was going to die. And the one moment I deviated from what she told me, I got hurt. And I decided I'm never going to deviate from what she told me again. And I didn't. What a gracious God to give me that experience. But one of the reasons I didn't deviate is because she was just right so much of the time. What she was saying was just right. You know, isn't that wonderful to have a person like that in your life? Who's just right about it. And you can resist it all you want to, but she's right. And so I regret not doing everything that she wanted me to do. I regret not doing everything that my God wanted me to do. I regret not being all in for him all the time because he deserves that from me. Because he is that to me. And I never have to worry about it. I never worried about whether my mom was on my side. You better not think about trying to hurt me with my mom in the vicinity. And so I have found it so easy to love in my lifetime, so easy to be all in with one I love, because I was taught that. This is the regret I have in this life. I wish I had done everything God's way. And I know he doesn't hold this failure against me, but this is my testimony. I wish I had done everything exactly the way that he had told me to. I wish I was his obedient son in every single matter, because I have a God who would never give me a false instruction or lead me astray in any way. A God who loves everything about me. A God who sees the depth of my depravity, yet loves me the same, and never changes toward me. And he gave me a mother that gave me a glimpse of the depth of that unconditional love. And he gave you a mother that gave you a glimpse of the depth of this unconditional love. A funny thing, when I'm studying a biblical topic, the first thing that I like to do is to define it so that I have a basic understanding of it. If you notice, I have yet to define unconditional love. Why? Because it can't be defined. The Bible doesn't even define it. Yet the Bible describes it perfectly in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. It says, the Lord Jesus Christ is love. The one who does not love unconditionally does not know God, for God is unconditional love. Unconditional love cannot be defined because it is a person. The Lord Jesus Christ is love. Imagine, believers in Christ, that the Lord Jesus Christ was still resident here on earth. Imagine that everyone knew where he lived. And imagine that one of his believers, you, killed 5,000 people at a mall with a machine gun. Reporters would make a beeline to his house to get his opinion on the situation. They would shove microphones at his mouth and ask for his opinion in an attempt to discredit him and to discredit Christianity. You have seen this before. John chapter 8. Verses 3 and 4. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the center of the court, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act." John 8, 5 and 6. "Now in the Mosaic law, Moses commanded us to stone such women to death. What then do you say?" And they were saying this, testing him, testing the Lord Jesus Christ so that they might have grounds for accusing him. What would the Lord say about you, his believer who had just killed 5,000 people? Would he respond like the mother of the Boston Marathon bombing suspects? The mother of the Boston Marathon bombing suspects insisted Thursday that her sons are not responsible for the attack. "America took my kids away from me," she said. "I am sure my kids were not involved in anything." And when she said this, 31 marathon victims were still in the hospital, one in critical condition. A mother's love is insane. If she had been an eyewitness to her children doing this, she would have said the exact same thing. "I cannot believe that my child would ever do that." A mother's love is insane. What would the Lord say about you, the murderer of 5,000 people at a mall? He would likely say this: "It is unfortunate that this has happened. And if my believer is found guilty, there are laws in place to handle this situation and to see that the world's justice is done. But as for me, I will not condemn my believer. On a cross, I paid for all of this believer's transgressions, and I see this believer as holy, as blameless, as a priest, as a saint, as an ambassador, with the absolute righteousness of God imputed to him and in union with me. And I will not turn my back on this believer in word or in deed under any circumstance. I have no further comment." That love is insane. And that's the love that your God has for you. And that's the love mothers have for their children. Mothers are unassailable as far as I'm concerned. The Lord Jesus Christ would express this sentiment in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. "If we are faithless, and we are, he," the Lord Jesus Christ, "remains faithful to us because he cannot deny himself." If you're a believer in Christ at the moment of salvation, absolute righteousness of God is imputed to you. Now, once that miracle happens, God will never turn his back on you under any circumstance. Mothers and dogs are the closest we get to this mind-blowing, insane, stupid love that transcends the boundaries of legalistic attempts to describe it. Legalism may teach us about God, but it fails miserably at helping us to know God as a person and to actually have a relationship with him. And a mother's love helps us to know God because mothers are a manifestation of God's love. Thank you, God, for giving us mothers, so that we might get to know you for who you really are. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there from Barah Ministries and from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the closing song is "I Am."
the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God, the great I Am. And He said, I am the living bread. I am the light. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the light. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the Son of God. John the Baptist waited for. I am the redeemer. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I existed before all. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am Jesus, you're the great I Am, and I am all I am because of you. After paying a bridal price, I am the only way to salvation. Whosoever can believe in me, I said it is finished. After my spiritual death on a tree, I am the King Redeemer, High Priest, Advocate you need, the mediator between God and man, born of a woman. First resurrected victory proclaimed, broke the chains of sin and death, there's no more pain, so the whole world might be saved. I am Jesus, you're the great I Am, the sacrificial lamb, and I'm a member of the Trinity. I was God at the beginning. I'm the creator of all things. I am the Lion, the Lamb, the Bridegroom. No one came into being apart from me. I am coming one day on a white horse. I am faithful and true. My eyes will burn like fire. Yes, I am coming with you in a blood. Because of
kind of singing that like I do, June. And coming one day on a white horse, and I'm the great I am. You know, you got this stuff written right out in front of you, you know. You just peek at it every once in a while. I love that. That was awesome. Oh, anytime. Anytime I can help. I'm confident of this very thing, that God the Father, who began a divine good work in the creation of you, will keep on perfecting it until the day of Christ Jesus. So don't fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will garrison your hearts and your minds for those of you in union with Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty Father, thank you for giving us a gift that's indescribable. Not only your Son, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but also the gift of unconditional love. You didn't have to do that. Thank you for taking your unconditional love and going into our souls at the perfect time and exploding the boundaries and the limits that we've erected there to protect ourselves from you and to have a pseudo-Christianity that separates us from you. Thank you for drawing us near to the one that we're in union with. And I pray that all who hear these messages are edified by them and are freed by them and are forced by them to investigate this thing called love, this marvelous and miraculous thing that makes all the difference in the Christian way of life. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are filled with love and that accurately reflect your person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.